What to say? All right. Well, okay, folks, I'm ready to go. Let's see. Let's get on with it here. I got two computers working. All righty. Unmute guest number 11, and I'll start the show here. Zogling, Quaker, and Mams, and Ass Clowns across the fruit and nut, Zog Pine, in the open air coast nut house, we call Zog Babylon the third, and the final. But this show, as always, is aimed at the lost and the found sheep of the house of Israel, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear Christ's call. Greetings. Tonight is the, 14th of July, 2013. It is, 8:52 or something like that? Granby, uncentral, unstandard, more or less what the fuck time. And I'm running a little bit late. Not to worry, though. What happens? Don't have that many people listening. Logan, he's off somewhere. I'm not quite sure which. I called Gary. He's probably going to go ahead and call in after 9 o'clock my time, 10 o'clock his time. You have the old Wickstrom. The Wickster's on, and somebody says that the July militia is on, and that, probably have queef yakking. And folks, I have a pretty good idea what everybody's talking about. Same thing I'm going to go ahead and talk about tonight. It's called When Trey Nigger Met Zimmer Mamzer, as I call him here. They're making a big deal about the Trayvon Martin alleged murder trial, which it wasn't. Essentially, it just boiled down to niggers have the notion that they get to run wild through white or gated communities or whatever, looking for what they can rob or steal or rape or whatever. Niggers believe they have a right to act as predators, and when they're challenged to get all, to get all huffy. Now, what happened on the night of the 26th, 2012, was pretty well understood by this, six split-tail jury, of which five were Whigresses, and they at least understood that you can't have any regime, criminal regime, criminalizing, shooting violent niggers that are jumping on top of you and beating the shit out of you. Now, this this Zimmerman, I looked and I seen his wife, and he had a fat gorda wife. I think she's a blonde, more than likely blue-eyed, fair, Whigress, gorda. Plump gorda, but, hey, a gorda. And so the Jew boy Beaner got him some, poontang here, some Whigress poontang. And I'm quite sure, I got to give the Zimmer Mamzer credit. He acted very much like a man. He didn't, he didn't go ahead and show very much emotion. From my gear, he wasn't much of a fighter. He was somewhat of a wannabe, but he was there to challenge niggers like old Skittles, Trayvon Martin, going through. And what they, you know, what the prostitution did was it refused to go ahead and give the actual evidence of what was going on at all. In this case, there was much prosecutorial misconduct. And that's what I'm gonna feature on. Not so much the race war. Like I went ahead and wrote over at Hunter Wallace's ongoing Trayvon Martin thread. Folks, I look forward to a racial war. Part of Civil War II, part of the Great Tribulation. And as I look at it, I've been doing a good deal of thinking. Folks, I was in the Army. Of course, I was in a nuclear missile battalion. And for my gear, niggers probably will never, ever, ever, ever get what? 1970s level tactical nuclear missile technology? The ability to, well, essentially create anything. Now, we had niggers in our launch units, but you know, every single one who actually aimed the thing, put it on the right azimuth, was a white boy. You'd have a PFC or a Spec 4. It didn't matter if the gunnery sergeant was a nigger, the platoon or section gunnery sergeant for either of the two tracked missile units, which were a variant of, well, an M110. Essentially it was an M10 chassis on the lower part, followed by essentially a hollow box with a little crane to mate the, missile and the warhead on an aluminum frame. In many cases, I'm not sure, it may have had an azimuth screw. It may have even had two elevations, although I never heard of firing a single fire mission at one, elevation. Is always at the same elevation. So I always had to laugh here back in 1991 when they were talking about bombing Saddam Hussein's Scud missile launchers. You're talking about, what, $50 worth of tubular aluminum. What you would do is you'd have the tubular aluminum mounted on a truck. Probably a truck with, canvas on top of it so satellites couldn't see what it is. And what you do is you put a piece of white tape, three or four inches wide at the very middle of the bumper, and then at the very end of it, 180 degrees at the middle of the back bumper, be it a tracked vehicle or what have you, or aluminum launcher, whatever, and you just straddle these two firing pins is what you do. That's where you put it. But you would have a white Spec 4, which is equivalent to a corporal, or a PFC, and he would go ahead and do it. But what I'm getting at is that niggers, I don't believe, can create. I don't know if in Zambia or Mozambique they are making 155 millimeter artillery shells. The United States used to have their army ammunition plants at, say, Parsons, Kansas, or Red River on the border of Texas and Oklahoma on the way to Louisiana. Used to have a bunch of these army ammunition plants, and they would burn in the case of 155, powder, eight bag charge powder, and some of the stuff would be from 1963 or 1964. This is in 1986, so you'd have 25-year-old powder, 30-year-old powder, or propellant. Go ahead and fire. But folks, I don't think the niggers know how to make artillery shells, much less the fuses for it. I don't believe that niggers are able to manage an AK-47 factory to make AK-47 rounds or 5.56 NATO rounds. I don't believe niggers know how to essentially do much of anything other than just spray and pray. And what happens when the ammunition is gone? No, folks. I'm not worried about the results of a race war. I look forward to having a race war. And you have the niggers, they were having a fit. But, folks, what I also noticed among the niggers is, you know, when I've been locked up in that house with niggers. And every single nigger is scared of the white man. I remember this big old 6'5", 260-pound nigger. He was an ex-hustler here. I think he was in there for some sort of child molestation charge or something like that here. Something about his DNA being found in the pussy of its, you know, of its nigglet niece or something like that. He'd become a black Muslim, but it also was a sovereign citizen, and he used to quote the 13th Amendment, all this sort of thing. And I was trying to tell this nigger is that, shoot, most of the people who came up with that stuff, I used to hang around them in the 90s, were Klansmen. You know, white militiamen, but it didn't really matter. He quoted all this sort of thing, and he sort of, you know, niggers believe two things here. The white man owes him a living, but the white man is evil and vicious and really, really, really smart. So someone like me would be called the devil by some niggers because I was definitely not a normal wigger. As a result, I got attacked far less by niggers as an open Klansman, as an open Aryan Nations pastor, than most wiggers did. Niggers are sort of scary. Anyway, here was this big old 6'5" nigger, Muslim nigger, and he's looking at this little mincing 5'8", you know, he's 56 years old, just a couple years older than me, but he looks like he's 76. He's mincing around. I'm not, you know, I think he was sort of a faggot, but, you know, he was accused of something like that. He claimed it was rape or something like that, and he was not guilty. It didn't really matter. The guy had been to the nut house before, 20 years previously, 15 years previously. So he'd been there before at the nut house, and I don't know how it worked out here, but I guess he eventually worked his way out of the nut house, and they ran him back in here, and he was messing around. He said, "That Dennis is a Klansman." I said, "You gotta be shitting me. There ain't no Klan that would take Dennis." This was the name of the mincing, you know, wigger faggot. And he said, "How do you know?" I said, "Well, hey, I'm, you know, I'm a Klansman, and no Klan would accept that." "Well, at least you're honest." First, I used to listen to crazy niggers who'd beat up little white guys. You know, I mean, small, quick niggers that were allowed to have, oh, these big rings. And he really screwed up one poor little wigger. One poor, scared little wigger. When they were playing a movie about, you know, lynching niggers in Mississippi or whatever. And I'd hear this crazy nigger, I think he was a rap star, talking about how he beat up the Ku Klux Klan and all this good, happy horse shit. No, folks. Niggers are scared of the white man. They think every white man is a Klansman, just like every Jew thinks every white man is a potential Nazi. So when you look like an actual Klansman or an actual Nazi, why, hey, they're scared of you. Which is as it should be. Which is as it should be. Now, moving on. I look at these niggers, and I've seen. You end up having a Mamzer, a Sephardic red nigger, Melungeon Mamzer, like, you know, Jeremy Visser, screaming at this, you know, screaming at one of his in-laws here, you know, the silly nigger female. And, you know, here's this Nodge Radio, and I have seen that when a white man essentially says, "Hey, look, nigger, fuck off," the nigger doesn't get all mad at the actual racist cracker. No! The nigger does not want to fight the white man. He wants to whine like a pussy and tell the, you know, the wigger that he's ignorant. He doesn't know his place or whatever. The nigger has always relied upon the Jew and the wigger to let him do whatever the hell he wanted to do. And so, folks, that's why I keep on saying it's not a nigger problem. It's not a beaner problem. It's not even a Jew problem. It's a wigger problem. Because what we have is we have a problem with race traitor wiggers who have been selling us out since day one. And until wiggers, until wigger kills wigger, regime criminal wigger, we cannot have any, you know, choice in this. Folks, what you've seen in Trayvon Martin case is the deliberate, I mean, you know, shoot, they didn't want to go ahead and tell about Trayvon Martin having marijuana residue in his bloodstream, that he was a high little nigger, and they keep on, he was a 17-year-old baby, just carrying Skittles in Iowa State, and he was stalked by the evil cracker, the creepy cracker, you know, just like this fat Sheboon said. And, folks, it doesn't really matter. You want to go ahead and claim that, you know, claim, and by the way, Joe Blowman, you're still persona non grata for spamming. Okay, from Occupied Sweden, well, it's occupied by Kurdish Jew mamzers like you, Joe Blowman. I mean, heck, you have spammed my chat room several times, Joe Blow. Okay? Any case, moving on. Where was I? Trayvon Martin, if he had wanted to, he could have been mad at the little cracker, he was actually a beaner Jew. He could have been mad, and he could have gone ahead, but he got mad about being disrespected, so he comes back, jumps on the little bitty beaner, and starts beating the shit out of him, starts pounding his head, straddles him, and starts pounding his head against the pavement, breaking his nose. And folks, this is not even stand your ground. You have a nigger that weighs you about 30, 40 pounds standing on top of you, that's just jumped on top of you and just pounding your head into the pavement and breaking your nose with his fists. That's self-defense. And so, you know, you have the prosecution denying evidence. You had the actual chief of police, a white man. He said, it's obvious what happened. Neighborhood watch character. And folks, this Zimmerman loved niggers. He tried to help niggers. He was fighting with the Sanford or whatever police here, because he loved niggers at the time. I don't know if he loves niggers anymore. I mean, heck, a beaner that's part Jew ends up, you know, being sort of screwed up in the head. But here he is. He goes forward, and the chief of police refuses to charge Zimmerman because it's open and shut self-defense. They see the blows, they see grass stains on the back, you know, of his clothes where the niggers jumped on top of him. Hey, it's just a nigger thug. That's all it is. A nigger thug. That's all it is. And so, since it's a nigger thug, who's gone ahead and, went ahead and was beating the crap out of somebody, and he had a gun, for what, 44 or 45 days, he refused to charge George Zimmerman with anything, which was as it should be. And essentially, the city council or whatever gets pressure, and they fire the actual honest white policeman, chief of police, just like they fired this head of the, you know, information technology for releasing pictures which showed that, Well, essentially, Trayvon Martin was a criminal looking to get a gun, doing graffiti, doing all sorts of criminal behavior, just like young niggers do. And so they fired, you know, this man. Folks, what you have is you have the Justice Department under Eric Holder, who's been running guns to the beaners in order to take away guns from white people. You have Obongo saying that Trayvon, you know, by the son, look like Trayvon Martin. Well, yeah. Hell, John Bonnier has a son-in-law that would look a lot, good deal like Trayvon Martin. His stupid daughter went ahead and married a Jamaican nigger. Yeah, you end up having all this stupid crap going down. And then people wonder why. Why is this here? Folks, you have prosecution. You have prosecutorial misconduct. I've seen this fat wigger bitch justifying her prosecutorial misconduct. And that bitch ought to be, you know, charged criminally. So ought the rest of the prosecutors. They refused to release information which would have gone ahead and proved it. And folks, this was a piss poor case. What it boiled down to, like Russ Walker said, is if this George Zimmerman gets found guilty, it means that no white man can defend himself against a rampaging nigger. Folks, I think if there's a need for a riot, you'll have the niggers are talking about rioting, but they're sort of scared. They're sort of scared of the white man because what they've seen is that, hey, nigger, you go ahead and you jump atop a white man with a gun in a state where white men or even beaners have guns, you're going to be one dead nigger. So niggers are whining and doing all this sort of shit. Folks, I hope that these niggers do right. Just machine gun them fucking niggers down. Okay? That's what needs to be done. That's what needs to be done. So, any case here. you have the truth mulattoes running around here. Queef and some other character here. John Friend, I think, goes ahead and does things Mondays here. Don't really matter. Sometimes I listen. I listened to Pisser Possum Show this morning. Anyway, folks, what we need to understand is that it's not even Obongo. It's not even Eric Holder. What you have is that you have Stephen Quakers who let this trial, this farce of a trial, continue. You had this beaner Jew who was actually not guilty, who was actually not much of a fighter. They were saying, well, how could he go ahead if he was straddling him, pick that gun up? I bet that beaner Jew was scared shitless, so he found the strength to get to his gun and bang, dead nigger. Dead nigger. And folks, that is the way it should be. But folks, you have to where you defend yourself against a rampaging nigger, you are determined to be guilty of something. And that's not the way things should be. At all. At all. Now, over at Market Ticker, Carl Denger said, just simply refuse to create anything. These parasites cannot create anything, and that's right. But folks, I believe that if a policeman or a prosecutor wrongs you, and they have wronged me, they've taken away my family, they did their best to railroad me, and so I don't have a problem with, you know, they may think it's lawless, but I think it's totally lawful to round up their children and torture their children into testifying against their parents and grandparents or great-grandparents, essentially taking the children of regime criminals, and essentially if you geld one of them right in front of his ex-pig father's eyes, and then make him eat the nuts. Why, hey, Piggy realizes that shit, we've gone past getting along together. No, folks, we cannot get along together. if some regime criminal wrongs you, when you get the power over him, destroy him. Ever since 1976, in Stump versus Sparkman, and then 2 years later, Imbler versus Pacman, they have ruled that judges and prosecutors cannot be held responsible for their crimes. Fine. So, what does that mean? Well, that means that when you become a judge, or you become a prosecutor, do whatever the hell you want to them. Let them understand is that, hey, no law, well, hey, that's good. That's fine. That's wonderful. Let both sides understand that, hey, two people can play that game. Anyway, folks, it looks like I've gone ahead and been sort of cut off from the chat room. I'm going to go ahead and take a couple minute break, and we will be back while I try to get back to my chat room, and we'll be back in a little while. Hail Victory.